College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Illinois head coach Brad Underwood. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by our great sponsor, MyBookie. You know what my favorite part of this time of year is? Sweater weather, leaves on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right, for some it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it's ball season. College Hoops tip-off is just around the corner, and the NBA starts for real this week. And you know there's no better way to feel a part of the action than to have a stake in the game with MyBookie.ag. Basketball is back in action, and it's time to turn your attention from carving pumpkins to seeing if friend of the podcast, Tony Bennett, can guide his Virginia Cavaliers to back-to-back national championships, or if UCLA can return to its winning ways under Mick Cronin. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie.ag, and if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code Rothstein to activate the offer. That's promo code R-O-T-H-S-T-E-I-N to double your cash deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Make sure to use promo code Rothstein. That's MyBookie.ag. Now that we've got you set for all your MyBookie needs, we are approximately 2 weeks away from the start of the 1920 college basketball season. We're getting closer and closer to tip-off. I was on the road again last week, saw a number of teams from high major conferences, caught UCLA practice late last week, and I got to tell you, if there's seven teams in the Pac-12 better than UCLA, who was picked to finish eighth, then everybody in that league office should order filet mignon for dinner from now until the start of the season, because I would be shocked if UCLA is not in the mix for an NCAA tournament bid. They don't have a go-to scorer. They don't have a bona fide guy who you're going to say is a lock to be a first-round pick. But UCLA has 10 to 12 quality program guys, and I've got to tell you, man for man, this is pound for pound, inch for inch, the most talented roster that Mick Cronin has ever had, in my opinion, when you look at the depth and the quality of depth. Now, again, UCLA does not have somebody to put in bold print as a go-to 17 to 18 point per game scorer, but UCLA to me, with Mick Cronin's defense and obviously the culture he's going to bring to Westwood, looks like a team that should be right in the mix for an NCAA tournament berth. Really love the ceiling of the big men, Jalen Hill and Cody Riley. Thought Tiger Campbell, the redshirt freshman point guard, had some promise in running a team. Again, no alpha dog, nobody like Mick Cronin had like Jaron Cumberland last year at Cincinnati, but a team in UCLA that I expect to be an NCAA tournament team. I also took in Villanova and USC in a charity exhibition at the Galen Center on Friday, and I couple of observations from USC right away. A couple of newcomers stood out, and it wasn't two of the highly touted freshman big men, Isaiah Mobley and Onyeka Okongwu. Ethan Anderson, the burly freshman point guard, totally changed the game for USC in the second half. Their flow was better on offense. He can get underneath the opposing point guard defensively. This is a name, if you're thinking about guys in the Pac-12 who aren't coming in with a lot of cachet but could play a big role, that you want to highlight if you're a college basketball junkie. Another thing, Akron transfer Daniel Utomi adds massive spacing to USC on the offensive side of the floor. He allows the post players that I talked about Isaiah Mobley, Onyeka Okwongwu, Nick Rakosevich to have better spacing in the low post. USC has NCAA tournament talent. I would be shocked if they're not an NC2A team in 2020. What about Villanova? Important to point out, Villanova did not play without Colin Gillespie, their starting point guard, who's out with a broken nose. Obviously, Brian Antoine, their five-star shooting guard, didn't play. And the Cats were in control of this game for 32 or 33 minutes. Villanova has an all-Big East first-team caliber talent in freshman forward Jeremiah Robinson Earl. He's the type of player who looks like he could be Big East Player of the Year as a freshman. Again, Villanova did not have Colin Gillespie to initiate offense, to get people shots, and you had a front line in USC's with Mobley, with Onkwangwu, with also Nick Rakosevich. That's as good as you're going to see in college basketball, and Jeremiah Robinson Earl goes out and gets 20-9 effortlessly. That's one name you have to remember. Now, Villanova, also under Jay Wright, has been a program that has been built on program guys getting incrementally better. Sadiq Bey and Jermaine Samuels will make massive leaps from a year ago into this season. Sadiq Bey and Jermaine Samuels both made massive transformations when it comes to their body. Villanova, again, does not have the type of talent that last year's Duke team had, with Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, and Cam Reddish. But when you look at their chemical makeup, they're built like a team, much like Duke, that has several players between 6'6 and 6'9 that can play multiple positions and shine as interchangeable parts. So I thought USC had better flow with Ethan Anderson on the floor, and I thought that Villanova, once it got healthy, would have a team towards the end of the season that would be among the elite in college basketball. Now, Villanova and USC are teams that, again, are expected to be in the top tier of their conference. And a lot of people feel the same way about Illinois, despite the Illini losing 21 games last season. What are realistic expectations for Illinois in year three under Brad Underwood? We find out when Brad Underwood, the head coach of Illinois, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Illinois is a trendy pick in the Big Ten and beyond entering the 1920 college basketball season. The head coach of Illinois is Brad Underwood, and he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Brad, where does last season rank among the most difficult you've endured, either as an assistant or a head coach?
Well, there were challenges, but there were so many positives, and we were so young, John, that we knew with that schedule that there were going to be some ups and downs. But the one thing that was established along with having to hit some of the speed bumps were growth. And this team never quit. We very easily could have laid down after our non-conference schedule, but we kept fighting. We kept growing. We stayed together. We kept building. And then we're able to beat Minnesota and to beat Maryland on a neutral site, beat Michigan State at home, and then go on the road and win at Ohio State, you know, late in the year. And there was growth there, and that was that's very, very exciting. And it was something that could springboard us into, a productive summer with a trip to Italy and, adding a few pieces. So we are excited.
You know, coaches always say that scheduling is the second most important part of any program after recruiting. You referenced your non-conference schedule last year. Four of your first five games last season were against high-major opponents. Seven of your first nine last year were against high-major opponents. How much can you speak to that importance of scheduling right now, considering what you went through a year ago?
Yeah, it was one of those things that we inherited, and the Big Ten's always going to play a very, very competitive schedule with the GABA games and the ACC Challenge, and then you throw two Big Ten games in early December, and you better be prepared. And we were such a young team, and we were led in scoring by two freshmen. And at that time, you know, they didn't know what this thing was all about, and still trying to figure out which way to put the jersey on, let alone figure out what Nebraska's doing, with all their veterans and going to Maui and facing Gonzaga in the first round, and we didn't have the mental toughness and the mental preparation in terms of being everyday guys to to handle just back-to-back-to-back high major opponents. And this year is a little different. We've still got a great, great schedule. We've got a great first week. We go on the road for two, but we're excited and we're more prepared to handle that.
You were 6-15 last year on January 30th, and then you finished 6-6 the rest of the way. What changed for your team at the start of February?
Well, I just think they kept working. We kept getting better. It was just about the process. It was about comfort, knowing what we were doing. There wasn't the sticker shock of seeing a really good opponent coming in and looking at the front of their jersey. We became, more comfortable in how to handle scouts, how to prepare, how to stay engaged for 40 minutes. And that was something that, this league was the best league in the country last year, and there were no easy nights, and that mental preparation was something we grew at, and it paid off for us.
Illinois coach Brad Underwood joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein, about 2 weeks away from the start of the 1920 college basketball season. Prior to becoming the head coach at Illinois, you had a record of 109-27 as a head coach. You weren't somebody who was used to losing. With that said, what has it been like for the last 2 years for you just to endure getting this thing going and taking some of the calluses along the way?
Yeah, it's not easy. There's no doubt about it. I know that I'm not a great loser. I know that I'm not an extremely patient guy, and yet that's what has had to happen to build it the right way. And there are no shortcuts. And in a league that has so many established cultures and established programs, we weren't going to go out and just do it up with transfers. We had to lay a foundation, and with that, I had to be patient. We set a foundation in place last year with guys Io DeSumo and Georgie Bashanishvili and Trent Frazier and Andres Felice. That now our locker room is unbelievable, and we've got high character guys who are working for a common goal, and that does take patience. It is frustrating, but yet it's what we believe is the right way to do it, and now we've got expectations that we're excited to have to deal with.
You mentioned some of the guys last year who kind of emerged as foundation pieces for your program. They're all back. Who, in your opinion, made the biggest jump from your returning players from last season to this one?
Well, I think they've all made major improvements. Andres Felice had a great, great summer. He did not get to go to Italy with us because of some visa challenges, but in the 10 days of practice was tremendous and was shooting the ball at an extremely high level. Alan Griffin, a guy that didn't get extended minutes last year, had a terrific tour to Italy and led us in rebounding at 9 a game and had a 30-point game. We saw a tremendous improvement in Tevian Jones, a guy that has a lot of talent and is still putting pieces together. And then, to be honest, a veteran, Kipper Nichols, a guy that had a very, very difficult junior year, lost some confidence, and now has regained that and is performing awfully well. And we're excited for his senior year.
And, obviously to take a step forward in addition to experience, you have to bring in some newcomers of impact. One guy, obviously, that's going to make a big impact is Kofi Cockburn, your talented 7-foot big man. I'm curious, for as big of an impact as he's going to make for your team, how much will he do for Georgie Bashanishvili, allowing him now to slide to his natural position?
Well, that's a lot. And yet I don't want to put too much expectation on Kofi. Kofi's a freshman. He is very, very gifted. He's a unique piece of the puzzle. He's 285 pounds. He's 7 foot, 7'6" wingspan, and people do bounce off of him. And he does attract a lot of attention at both ends of the court, and rightfully so. But being able to play those guys together, we see a more versatile Georgie, a guy who's in my opinion, an elite ball handler, a guy who can dribble drive you and get by you. We didn't see that last year. A guy who's arguably one of our best passers. And yet we don't want to get away from the fact, you know, Georgie shot close to 60% from two-point range last year and is a very, very effective post player. But, you know, both those guys together can be a pretty pretty good upfront duo.
Now, you have always been a coach that has been synonymous with wanting great guards, and you have one of the best in the country in Ayo Dosunmu. He went through the NBA draft process last year. He's back now. Where will we see the biggest areas of growth in his game from his freshman to sophomore year?
Well, it may not show physically, but I think in terms of his mental approach. And the one thing he's done is he's added 20 pounds. That part is the physical part we'll see. He's much, much stronger than he was, which has given him tremendous confidence. But just as a lead guard, just having the understanding of what we're doing and what opponents are doing and how people play him, you know, that experience from your freshman year to your sophomore year is invaluable. He's so much more dynamic now in finishing at the rim, but his ball handling, his playmaking have excelled just because he's got a better understanding of what we're trying to do, of what the offense is doing, and most importantly, how defenses play him now. So we've seen a tremendous amount of growth. He had a great, great trip to Italy, led us in scoring. You know, we only played him 23, 24 minutes a game, but, you know, shot close to 50% from the three, or 46%, I guess, on that trip. He's an improved shooter. So he's really improved, John, in just about every area.
Illinois coach Brad Underwood joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein about 2 weeks away from the start of the 1920 college basketball season. We talked about the importance of scheduling, and you had mentioned that, you know, you have a big opening week. You're going to play at Grand Canyon, one of the better mid-majors on the West Coast, and you're also going to play the first game of a home-and-home series with Arizona. After going through what you went through a year ago, why take a trip like this to start the season? I mean, some people, you know, dip their toe in the water. You're doing a cannonball.
Well, I think the one thing that, you know, we've got a significant alum in Jerry Colangelo that was one of the most famous Illini alums and on the basketball side, and he's so important to our program and obviously his involvement in Grand Canyon. So this is a great opportunity to recognize Jerry and we played them 2 years ago in what was the first game of a 2-for-1, and then we just decided to put Arizona on the back end of it. If we were going to go west for a game, let's start a series. And Sean's got a heck of a club, I'm a big believer. You know, we've got to go on the road. Our first Big Ten game is against Maryland, who's picked second. And let's find out what tough environments. And we know how great Grand Canyon is. We know what their environment is like. And then Arizona's sold out for as long as I've been alive, I think. What better way to prepare you for Big Ten play than to get a good dose early?
Well, the Big Ten is always going to be as competitive as any league in the country. There seems to be a little bit of separation after the top two teams right now. Brad, I'm curious, when you look at the league, and obviously Michigan State and Maryland are two of the top teams in the country, after those two, give me a team or two that you think will be, you know, in the mix near the top of the Big Ten standings.
Well, I'm not going to go very far from you know, where it was last year. I think Purdue is going to be very, very good. Obviously, they've lost a major piece in Carson and Klein, but they have great pieces. Matt's done an unbelievable job of establishing their culture. They'll have as formidable a front line as maybe anybody in the league. I like the fact that I think Wisconsin's going to be a good basketball team. They've got a backcourt that is extremely good. I think we'll see the Reavers kid slide into a different role and become a dominant player. And then I like the fact that, Iowa's got a lot of pieces back. I think they've got one of the elite backcourts in Wieskamp and Bohannon. You know, and one of the great centers in Garza. So, you know, I think we're looking at, you know, you throw Michigan, loses John, obviously. But, you know, you look at the middle of what they have back with a great point guard in Simpson and Teske in the middle and then Livers. They've got good pieces. So, I you know, I really like 3 through 8 or 9. I think they're all going to be we're all going to be jumbled in there somewhere, and makes for a very, very interesting conference season.
Well, you've had 2 years as a head coach in the Big Ten. You were a head coach in the Big 12 before that, and then you were an assistant in the Big 12 as well at Kansas State. What have you found to be the biggest differences in coaching in the Big Ten versus the Big 12?
Well, it's so difficult to win on the road, and I say that every night is a sellout crowd. It doesn't matter where you go, even though it's game day, it's got a different feel in this league. It's really an event. It encompasses much more than a college campus or community. It involves the state. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're 43 years in a row for leading the country in attendance. And it's very evident every night you go. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's going to be a sellout crowd, and it's challenging. Great coaches in the Big 12, great coaches in the Big 10. And yet, boy, it's such a challenge in some of these venues and in these environments to go on the road and be tough enough to win.
Bill Parcells, the legendary football coach, always said, "You are what your record says you are," and there's obviously, you know, no point in looking backwards, but you were a team, even though you finished strong, that won 12 games last year. Making the jump to be an NCAA tournament team means you'd have to, you know, increase your win total substantially. I've seen teams go from 12 to 17 or 18, but, you know, going from 12 to the low 20s to the mid-20s would take an incredible leap. What's the biggest reason why this Illinois team is well-positioned to flip its record compared to maybe the one we saw a year ago?
Well, I think just experience. You know, I think you're looking at a team that was dominated by you know, a couple of young guys. We've got a majority of our veterans back. We lost Aaron Jordan, you know, off our team last year. I think experience, I think another year in the weight room. I think all those things lead to a substantial jump. I go back to one of my first years in coaching at Western Illinois. We won 6 games, and the next year we won 20 with the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there becomes a confidence. I think, you know, Kofi's addition, you know, I like the fact that, you know, we've got other freshmen that I think can help us. I'm excited about Benjamin Verdonk. I think he's a guy that 6'8", 245 pounds, is physically ready to help us and play in the Big Ten. So, you know, I think we've got a little different swagger about us from confidence and a confidence standpoint. And I think we've got the leadership in the locker room that these guys are pretty dialed in this year.
Well, Brad, final thing for me, I remember I was out in Champaign 2 years ago before your first season for a practice. And if my memory serves correct, you were talking about how one of your secretaries when you were at Stephen F. Austin asked you what would your dream job be. And you said Illinois. I know that the one-loss record in the first years isn't what you've hoped it would be, but has it been a dream realized throughout these first two seasons?
We're getting there. We're getting there. You know, I think it's I think the struggles will make it so worthwhile. And, you know, it is an elite program, and we play in front of sellout crowds every night, and we have such a passionate fan base. We've got a administration that is very, very committed to us being the best we can be, and there are no shortcuts to success. And we're tracking and climbing the mountain. Yet we also understand that once you get close to the top, it gets pretty steep. And you know, we've got to keep grinding every day. And as our saying, every day, guys, that's our moniker. And we've got to keep getting better every single day. And this is an elite place, and we've got to start acting like that, and we've got to start putting the results together. And you know, we're knocking on those doors.
Well, Brad, you know, good luck with the final 2 weeks of preseason practice. There are going to be some teams in college basketball that may have a first week as hard. Nobody has a first week harder than Illinois. So looking forward to covering it. Looking forward to staying connected along the way.
You're the best, John. Thank you.
Want to thank Illinois head coach Brad Underwood for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And a reminder that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being sponsored by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question is going to come from Justin V, and it's, John, what is your overall opinion on St. John's this season and going forward? The good thing for St. John's is this. You hired a coach in Mike Anderson, who, while some people might have thought was an interesting fit, an outside-the-box fit, who has never had a losing season as a head coach, and you also have two All Big East players in LJ Figueroa and Mustafa Heron. That's a good thing. The bad part is this. You have a Big East conference that's substantially better than it was last year, and you also have major questions at the most important position on the floor, the point guard spot. So my opinion on St. John's, I think right now St. John's looks like they'll be a 500 team, maybe a little bit better. I'm hoping to be in St. John's Arena on November 16th to see them play against Vermont, the favorite in the America East, one of the best mid-majors in the country. That, to me, will be the first litmus test for St. John's during the 19-20 college basketball season. Our next question comes from Dom Toretto, and it's, John, the Champions Classic this year looks like two games of freshman talent versus overall experience. What wins? Experience always wins over talent in college basketball, and we've learned that, really, I think, you know, over the last couple of years. I mean, look at last year's Final Four. Of the four teams that were there, Michigan State, Texas Tech, Virginia, and Auburn, the only freshmen that played major roles were Kyler Edwards of Texas Tech, Kihei Clark at Virginia, and Aaron Henry of Michigan State. Now, generally, when you think about teams that have won the national championship, there is usually a couple of guys that are forecasted to be first-round picks in the NBA. That may not be the case with Michigan State this year, because you look at their team, Winston, Langford, Henry, Tillman, nobody being projected right now as a first-round pick, or at least obviously in the top part of the first round. Look at the past couple years. Villanova had Brunson, DiVincenzo, Bridges, Spellman. Last year, Virginia had DeAndre Hunter. They had Ty Jerome. They had guys who looked like they could play at the next level. That's an interesting thing to follow when you look at Michigan State and their overall ceiling for this season. Now, I think Michigan State has got championship culture. They've got a senior point guard. They've got guys who have been through the gamut. But their ceiling as a team may not be as high as some other teams because of their talent base in terms of players who are, you know, projected to be on other teams who are projected to be pros at the next level. Before we get to Five Good Nuggets, I want to remind you of today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by MyBookie. You know what my favorite part of this time of year is? Sweater weather, leaves on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right, for some it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it's ball season. College Hoops tip off is just around the corner, and the NBA starts for real this week. And you know there's no better way to feel a part of the action than to have a stake in the game with MyBookie.ag. Basketball is back in action, and it's time to turn your attention from carving pumpkins to seeing a friend of the podcast, Tony Bennett, can guide his Virginia Cavaliers to back-to-back national championships. Or if UCLA can return to its winning ways under Mick Cronin. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get Get in the game with MyBookie.ag, and if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code Rothstein to activate the offer. That's promo code R-O-T-H-S-T-E-I-N to double your cash deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Make sure to use promo code Rothstein. That's MyBookie.ag. Now let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, sitting by the dock of the bay. Well-embedded moles in Seattle believe that the sleeper player in Washington's program could be guard Jamal Bey. Everybody's talking about Isaiah Stewart and Jaden McDaniels, and that's for good reason. But Bey could be the breakout player this season for the Huskies that not a lot of people are talking about. Nugget number two, buy stock in the Bears. You need more reason to buy stock in Baylor in 1920. Six of Baylor's top seven projected players in a rotation are in at least their third season of college basketball. Again, experience is greater than talent. Always something to keep in mind when you're evaluating things in college basketball. Nugget number three, be who you're supposed to be. You know, there was some chatter last week that the Mountain West Conference is considering going to 20 league games. I think it's an awful, awful decision for the Mountain West to go that route. And the example I use is what's happened to the Atlantic 10. The Atlantic 10, even after losing Temple, Xavier, and Butler, when it was at 16 league games, had five NCAA tournament bids in 2013, had six NCAA tournament bids in 2014. Then in 2015, they switched from 16 to 18 league games. They haven't had more than three NCAA tournament teams since. Be who you're supposed to be. You're not a power conference. Don't act like one. Nugget number four, take caution. Hoops junkies, do not read too much into the results from exhibitions and scrimmages over the next few weeks. Most of these are done without proper scouting and involve situational basketball without a foul tally. Remember, it's all fun and games until somebody loses a bye game in November and December. Nugget number five, the unsung mid-major. I am shocked at the lack of attention surrounding Liberty. Richie McKay returns four starters from last year's team that won a game in the NCAA tournament. This is one of the best mid-majors in the sport. We'd like to thank Illinois head coach Brad Underwood for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.